Panspermia. Anybody know what that means? I didn't either. Well, it's a theory. It's a theory that the evolutionists have come up with. And it's the idea that life on Earth started as a result of bacteria coming from Mars on a meteorite. It amazes me how they come up with these theories and actually look into them to believe that they might be some truth to them. But that's the idea that they've come up with, that life started from bacteria that came from Mars on a meteorite. Scientists have actually tested this theory. They sent out millions of bacteria spores into outer space on a Russian satellite. Any idea what they learned from this? If any of them would read the Bible, they would learn what we already know. That bacteria did not survive. It cannot survive going from one planet to another. It took them a lot of money and a lot of time to understand what we already know. I want to start and turn to Psalms chapter 8 and read two verses here. Psalms chapter 8, start with verse 3 and 4. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. David here said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" He's kind of putting things into perspective here. All one has to do is go outside and look up into the heavens and see the beautiful creation, see everything out there. The beautiful countryside that we travel through on a daily basis. All we have to do is realize, by looking at that, that bacteria did not start this. It's just unreal to think that that's even a belief out there. Our home in this universe, it spirals of about 200 billion stars. Now, it could be a lot more than that. This is just what our scientists have seen. 200 billion stars. Imagine how much further it goes. Imagine how much detail was put into the creation. All the creation, not just beyond what we can see, but when we come down, even what my father was talking about in the small flower, the smallest thing on earth, the detail of creation, not the detail of bacteria. It's amazing. Well, when we think about our galaxy and how big it is and how fast things travel, think about this. Every 24-hour time period, our galaxy travels 1,500,000 miles through space at more than 66,000 miles an hour. Does anybody feel tired yet? That is moving. That's covering a lot of space. Again, did that just form from bacteria? No, I don't think so. You know, we don't have to be rocket scientists to figure out the origin of life. All we have to do is look at the examples that God has given us. And not just the big examples from the galaxies to the planets, back to the atmosphere, the rain, you know, the weather, even closer to home. The hills and the mountains. We appreciate all that. But we can look at the animals. You know, God has put animals on the planet for various reasons. And in doing that, there's lessons that we can learn from these. Let's look at Job for another reference here. Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12, read verses 7 through 9. Job says, "But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the Lord has done this?" You know, in God, in His creation, He is giving us all kinds of examples to look at. He created everything that we see out there. Job said, you know, ask the animals, or in other words, watch the animals. Learn from the animals, because they are reflecting the examples that God wants us to look at. So, as I think, I love nature, a lot like most of you do, and I like to hunt, again, like a lot of you do. And I really appreciate animals. But one of my favorite animals is the bald eagle. When you think about the bald eagle, in my opinion, it's a magnificent bird. I'm sure you've seen, if you've not seen a bald eagle at the zoo or you know, in real life, you've seen it on TV or you've seen pictures of it. But you see the stature of a bald eagle. It stands proud. It has wide shoulders, you know, narrow hips. It's a powerful looking animal, a powerful looking bird. Think about this. Eagles are extremely strong and fast. At 10,000 feet in flight, a bald eagle can see a rabbit down on the forest floor. Now, 10,000 feet, that's almost 2 miles. That's like us walking out here in the parking lot and looking down around the corner in the restaurants. Now, imagine looking that far and being able to see a rabbit, a small rabbit. The eagle can see that. And not only can he see it, but within just a matter of a few seconds, at speeds over 100 miles an hour, he could be down there and picking up that rabbit. That's some of the God-given abilities that this eagle has. The eagle has a very powerful chest, as I said, very narrow waist, and very powerful thighs. It's a very, very strong, strong bird. The African eagle, the African crowned eagle, is actually just a little bit bigger. Now, we're not going to talk a lot about that one today, but just a fact that I thought was interesting. The African crowned eagle has been known to kill an antelope. Now, antelopes, at least in the African antelopes, they're on average about 50 pounds. So they're not big like our deer, but they're still a pretty good-sized animal. And to think that a bird is strong enough to kill an antelope. The average American eagle, full-grown, adult size, has a wingspan up to 7.5 feet wide. And it can weigh, in its body weight, as much as 20 pounds. So, what we want to do today is look at the eagle. And I want to look at it in somewhat detail. And I want to compare some lessons that we can learn, some spiritual lessons that we can learn from that of the eagle and how the eagle lives its life. One thing that we need to start off with is knowing that an eagle does not, at least prefers not to, go out and eat dead meat or rotten meat. An eagle will try to make a fresh kill. It needs the high protein of fresh meat, and that's what it thrives on. And the first lesson we can look at from that point of view is our spiritual diet. We need to have a high protein diet spiritually. We can't find ourselves eating raw meat or dead meat or rotten meat. So if you will, let's look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We'll start in verse 30 or 47. Read a few verses here. John chapter 6, starting in verse 47 through 51. It says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." We're told here to feed spiritually. A well-planned, a well-physical diet, if you will, a spiritual diet. We have to eat good physical food to sustain our physical life. But even more so, we have to be sure and be very positive that we're eating good spiritual food, because our physical life is just that. It's physical. And when it's passed away, it's over. But our spiritual life is our eternal life. And if we don't prepare now and eat the healthy spiritual food that we need now, then we won't have the opportunity to go on into eternal life. So it's very important to monitor all of our spiritual food and eat it as a high-protein spiritual diet. We think about, you know, most animals out in the wild. Most animals they don't like storms. When a lightning storm comes about, or heavy rains and hail, they tend to hide. But the eagle, they do very well in storms. For instance, an eagle, when the storm starts, they will actually challenge the storm. In other words, they'll stand up to it. What they'll do, they'll walk right out of their nest and they will face the storm head on. And what they're looking for is, if the storm comes in from the east or the west or whichever way it's coming at that point, they look for the last place they saw the sun. And what the eagle does, he takes to the sky and he flies directly into the storm, through the storm, and heads for the sun. And why does he do this? Well, the eagle, he knows that the sun is his source of strength. It has warmth and dryness. And he knows that beyond the storm, the sun is there, and it's always going to be there. So he heads for the sun. He knows it's, as my dad was talking, it's his lifeline. It's his connection to getting out of any danger that's around him. So that's what they do. They head directly to the sun. They try to get away from the storm. Our lesson we can learn from this is that we know in our daily life that Satan brings storms to us. And on a daily basis, there's always something that we're facing. There's always a challenge out there. And when we think about the storms that we face, what better comforting thoughts do we have than to know that God the Father and the Son are beyond the storm? And all we have to do is look to God the Father and know that He's there to comfort us, and He will bring us through the storm. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We know that God is there for us, and that He is our answer. We're to look to Him. We are to go to Him for all help. No matter what the storm is or what it brings, we have to know, we have to realize that God is beyond the storm. And we're to rely on Him. And if we rely on Him and we have total faith in Him, God will give us the strength that we need to get through whatever storms that we're facing. There's a lot of lessons that we can learn from the eagle. And we just have to take time to consider them. And when God designed the eagle, He designed a very special bird. It didn't arrive by some form of bacteria from another planet. The eagle was designed by the Almighty God, just as we are designed by Almighty God, in His likeness, in His image. The eagle is the only creature that has the ability to look directly into the rays of the sun. I didn't know this before I started researching this about eagles. But the eagle, whenever God created the eagle, He designed his eyes with special eyelids. that he could look into the sun and not be blinded. We know how on a very, very bright sunny day, we may be driving our car or walking down the road or whatever we're doing. If we look up to the sun, just in a few seconds, our eyes start watering and we have to look away. Well, God designed the eagle to be able to look into the sun and accept it. And one of the reasons for this is the eagle, by doing this, can get away from his enemy. The biggest enemy to the eagle is the condor. Now, the condor is a very, very large bird as well. It's actually heavier than the eagle. It is a bird of prey, and it can weigh up to over 25 pounds, between 25 and 30 pounds. And it has a wingspan of 10 feet. Now, the condor, though, is along the same lines as the vultures and the buzzards. It's more of a scavenger bird. And the condor, again, is the enemy of the eagle. So when the eagle is in flight and he's always on the look for the condor and he sees one, he actually heads straight for the sun. By doing this, the condor will attempt to follow him. But just as we experience when we look at the sun, when the condor flies to the sun, he starts to become disoriented and he loses sight of the eagle and he turns away. And that's how God created him. He created the eagle to outrun his enemy. The lesson we can learn here: we know that Satan is always on our heels. Everywhere we go, we have to be aware that Satan is doing his best to make us fall. He wants to cause us to go astray because we are a threat to him. We have to keep our eyes focused on God the Father and the Son. We have to know that He gives us special sight to see Him, to know that if we stay focused on Him, that we won't turn away, but Satan will, because Satan does not want anything to do with God. So if we are heading towards God, we are focused on God, Satan will not follow too close. And we can't escape him. Now, you don't have to turn to this scripture, but it's a very familiar scripture to us. It's James 4 and verses 7 and 8. And it says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Verse 8 says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded." So we see that James tells us first that we need to submit to God. And we know this. We know this is what we have to do. This is a good reminder. And it's not always easy facing our daily lives to keep our submission to God on our minds. You know, we're human. Now, it's not an excuse. It's just a fact that we're human and we do have human nature about us. But we have to do the best we can always to keep God on our minds and always submit to God in any situation. If we do this, then God will be there for us. We resist the devil and he will flee from us. This is a promise from God. Again, if we think about the lessons that the eagle teaches us, a lot of animals teach us this lesson, but the eagle is one of the few animals that God has given a lot of different characteristics too that can help us. And it's a very majestic bird. You know, the eagle is one of few birds that picks a mate for life. The doves do as well. But the eagle, when he finds the lady eagle, what they do is they fly high up in the air and they lock together. They wrap their claws and their wings around each other. And they're probably some 10,000 feet in the air. They fly very high. And then all of a sudden, when they lock together, they free fall. They free fall at high rates of speed, both together. And they'll go all the way down to just above the tree top levels. And then right before they would crash, the lady eagle opens her wings. And she catches them, and then they fly back up. And by doing this, this shows her commitment to him. that she's willing to do whatever it takes, that she'll hang on for life, and then she will do what she can do to save his life. They fly back up to the 10,000 feet or that average height. They wrap up, and they do it again. Again, they fly or they fall free fall with high rates of speed. And again, when they get close to the treetop level, he opens his wings. That shows his commitment to her. And at that point, they have just said, for better or worse, for richer or poor, they're together. And they have proven to themselves that no matter what comes, you know, what challenges they face, or whatever life throws at them, they have committed to each other. And then, if eagles can get married, they're married. You know, the lesson that we can learn from that is, as married couples, we commit to each other for life. Unconditional love is what we promised each other. Just like the eagles, unconditional love. That's also what Jesus Christ promises to us, unconditional love, as He prepares to wed us in the upcoming ceremony that we all look so much forward to. Hopefully not to distant future. But we know that this wedding supper is coming, or the wedding ceremony is coming, and we are to be a part of this. We have to stay committed. The eagles are committed for life. And as we go through this, we'll see how much they stay committed. Brethren, that's what we have to do. We are committed. We've wrapped our wings, our arms around Jesus Christ, and we're here with Him. And He's done the same to us. We have to keep that commitment and know that we would do anything to keep this relationship that we have with Christ. Because He tells us that He will do anything for us. And He will stay committed to us. So as the eagles move on in their life, their newly wedded life, they can live to be 45 to 50 years old. And I wasn't aware of that. That's quite a while for animals, as we think. When they build their nest, they don't just throw together any scraps they can find, anywhere they can find it. They take special precautions in picking out the right spot and using the right building materials for their nest. An eagle will select their nest from the highest mountain in their area, or the highest place that they can find. And then when they find that place, they look for the strongest tree, or the strongest rock, or whatever is the strongest point on that place that they can find. And then they start to build their nest. And again, it's not just thrown together. They take their time to weave in strands of grass and sticks and twigs. They weave it together to where it's going to stand the test of time, where it's going to last. And then they line it with fur from rabbits or fox or whatever they can find. That's what they'll do. They'll line their nest. So they don't just make a nest and throw it together. They take their time and they do it right. They build it on a strong foundation. And then they make it comfortable also. They do all this because they're there for the long haul. And that's what we need to do. We need to realize and be committed and know that we are here for the long haul. In the mountains, as the eagles, they start their life together, if you will. They have built their nest now, and they've got their place picked out. Their physical home is ready to go. So then, we have an egg. And the egg turns into a little eagle. So they start their family. Now, we've talked about the structure and the stature of the eagle, the male eagle, even the female eagle, and what they do for each other and how protective they are. And it doesn't change when they have little ones. Whenever the mom goes out to hunt, the dad will stay at the nest, and he will keep the egg warm until it hatches. When it hatches, he protects the little one. And they take turns. They share responsibilities. He accepts responsibility as protector of his family and provider for his family. So let's look at another lesson that we can see here. We know, God tells us, that He is God the Father, our Father, and He is our protector. He will provide for us. He will protect us through thick and thin. Let's look at Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. So verse 19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Think about that lesson. He will supply all of our needs. You know, in this physical world, we need more physical fathers that will take on this lesson. We hear the news on a daily basis, and we see what's going on in the world. And fathers, the role of the father has really fallen. And it's, I expect it will get worse as time goes on. But the results of these families who lose their father, the father just decides he doesn't want to be a part of it anymore, the family falls apart. Very few cases do the children grow up and lead productive lives. Now, you can't say that for all cases because it does happen. But God designed the family to where the mother and the father raise the children. And there's responsibilities they commit to each other. And the same is true in the church. We have God the Father, and He is our provider and protector. And we all are His children. We need to work together. We need to be in unity to help each other so that we can go on in this Christian life that we live physically and go on into eternal life. That's our goal. Our whole goal is to live with Jesus Christ in the kingdom. But we have to make it through this physical world first. We can do that through God's help. But I do say without God's help, we will fall. If we cut the Father off, then we will turn out like so many physical families do today. The kids will fall apart. They'll go their own way. They'll do their own thing. And life as they know it will be over. But God wants us to know that He's there for us as the Father, as the provider, and as our protector. And as long as we accept Him and live by His rules, and His rules are given to us, He's happy, ecstatic, if you will, to continue to play that role in our lives. And He will do that. Well, back to the eagle. Now, Junior, he's starting to grow a little bit. His eyes are wide open and he sees the world around him. And as most little babies do, his mouth never stops. He's constantly squawking and doing what eagles do. He wants to play with everything, get into all kinds of mischief. And the mom and the dad eagle, they're willing to watch and let him learn from experiences, as long as it doesn't, you know, endanger his life. Every time mom would fly out, she would come back and drop a little bit of meat into Junior's mouth. Again, a very healthy diet of good high protein, that's what the eagle needs to grow. And as we talked before, a high diet of spiritual protein is what we need to grow. Each day, the little eaglet grows and becomes stronger and stronger. And as he's doing this, his parents watch him. Again, they allow him to do what he does. But they feed him on a daily basis. They make sure that he is fed. Well, we're fed on a daily basis. God has given us His Word, the Bible, and He makes sure that we have all the spiritual food that we need. Now it's up to us to chew it up and swallow it. The eagle does the same thing. The mother could drop food in his mouth all day long, but if he spits it out, then he's done growing. The same is true for us. We have the spiritual food before us, but if we don't chew it up and digest it, then we will quit growing. And we can't quit growing because The theory, and this is a true theory, if you stop growing, then you're falling or you're dying. So we cannot die spiritually. We have to keep growing. So one day, the mom realizes that Junior has grown a little too big for the nest. So what she does, she drops him out of the nest onto the rock beside the nest, the foundation that holds their home. Now, she realizes, as they pick this spot, that this foundation, this rock, has been there through thick and thin. It's been there through all kinds of storms, lightnings, forest fires, avalanches, snows, whatever the conditions were brought, that rock has stood the test of time. And she knows this is a safe place for her son to land on and get his grounding, if you will. So on this rock, the mother eagle starts to build a small nest just for the eaglet. Of course, he thinks this is pretty nice. You know, he's getting his own bachelor pad, if you will. He's got his own home. He can do whatever he wants now. So she puts him out there, and a few weeks go by, maybe even a month, depending on, again, how fast he grows. He's doing his own thing. He's living, bouncing in and out of his nest, walking around on the rock. The whole time, the mother and father are watching him. They're aware of what he's doing. They're aware of where he's going. So, as time does progress, and he does continue to grow, and he starts to sprout these little feathers, the mother knows it's time. So she goes down on the rock, and as he walks around, prances around, she starts tearing down his nest. And he doesn't really know what's going on. You know, again, this is all new to him. So over the course of a 24-hour period, she has his whole nest completely gone. He has no idea what's going on. He's about to learn a life lesson that he does not know about. After the nest is gone, she walks over to him, and she puts him on her back. And he's all for this, you know. He thinks this is a free taxi ride. She flies up to about 10,000 feet again, and it's a free fall. And it absolutely scares him to death. He don't know what's going on. He's never seen this done before. So he holds on tight. And she falls all the way down to the treetop lines and back up. And he's there. Doesn't have a clue what's going on. She gets back up to the height. She rolls, and she does it again. This time, halfway down, somehow she communicates to him, "You better start flapping your wings, because I'm not going back up this time." So he gets the picture. She flips, rolls him off. Now, God did build a safety feature in here. An eagle can fly faster than an eagle can fall. I didn't know that. So in case he does not pull himself up on his own wings, she can catch him. I guess this has been witnessed by explorers. But she dumps him, he falls, and she's flying behind him. And she tells him, in eagle language, "Flap your wings. You better fly." So he does. So he learns now this life lesson that if he did not do something for himself, there's a good chance that his life, his short-lived life, would be over. He has to take charge. And he has to do what his parents tell him, knowing that it's for the good. It's for the greater good. A lesson that we can learn from this episode here is that we shouldn't build on a nest. We have to build our Christian life on a good, solid foundation. We know that Jesus Christ is that solid foundation, that He is the everlasting rock, that He always was and always is and always will be. And we can know that because He tells us that in His Word. And He went on to die a physical death, an excruciating physical death for us, that we wouldn't have to suffer that. We have to understand that He is our foundation. Let's look at Psalms 18, verse 2. Psalms Psalms 18, verse 2. Just a short little scripture, but it says a lot. Verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." It's not a very long scripture, like we said, but it says an awful lot. It gives us a lot of hope. You know that He is our rock and our fortress. That's our protector. He will protect us. Our deliverer. And we know that when we get into tough times, tough situations, He's there for us and He will pull us out of those situations. We have to learn our lessons, and He allows us to learn our lessons. But also, He does not put us in any situation more than what we can handle. And He's our strength. And He's there for us. He'll support us in any way that we need. And we know that we have to trust in Him. We can do that. And when we think about those points, we have to understand that, you know, when we're hungry, whether it's physical hungry or spiritual hunger, we know that God or Christ, you know, is the manna from heaven. We read that in Matthew. When we're thirsty, again, physical or spiritual, He's our living water. How about when we're tired? We talked about being tired earlier. He's our rock. He sticks by us and He picks us up. He's there to carry us. He says, "Put our burdens on Him and He will lift us up." When we're scared, you know, we all get scared from time to time. He's our protector. We have to understand that He's everything to us. Whatever our needs are, things that we don't even know we need yet, He's there for us. He's willing to be our protector. He's willing to be our provider. Well, we go back to the eagle. You know, time has gone by now, and the eaglet, has learned to fly. He's moved on in life, and he's going to start his own life. And he's going to take these lessons that he's learned, and he's going to apply them in his life. And by doing that, he will grow to be a healthy old eagle age, and he will keep that same majestic stature that his father and mother passed down to him. Well, let's look what happens now as the eagles, the mother and father, they start to age. Well, we all start to age. Not just physically, but we all start to age spiritually. And it's okay to age, because a lot of times with age comes wisdom. And that's what God wants us to grow in grace and knowledge. That's wisdom. But we've got to be careful as we age, because it's very easy to age ungracefully. That's what we don't want to do. We don't want to do that. And we can all avoid aging ungracefully spiritually. Sometimes we don't have a lot of control over our physical ailments, but from a spiritual point of view, we have all the medicine that we need. And God gives us that medicine. And if we use it right, we will grow old spiritually in a very graceful manner. Let's think about the eagle. For some eagles, calcium begins to build up on their beaks. And this usually happens when they get up into their later years. As a result, their beaks become swollen and sore. As a matter of fact, it becomes too sore to eat, so they can no longer feed themselves, no longer take nourishment. The eagle loses the desire to take care of himself altogether. He no longer flies at the top of the sky to hunt, or he no longer faces the storm, the challenges of life head on. He starts to pull back, and instead of being aggressive, he falls back and starts to hide when things go bad. He goes underneath the trees and the branches for protection. He looks to the physical sources of protection. He fits right in with the vultures and the buzzards. He begins to lose weight. His strength starts to leave him. His shoulders begin to stoop, and his head starts hanging low. And all this time, as this happens, the lady eagle is watching, and she sees this. And as any good wife would be, she's very concerned about him. So she tries to encourage him and tries to strengthen him. And that's how, a lot of times in the physical sense, we see ourselves in the church. We try to encourage and strengthen each other when we see a brother or sister start to become weak spiritually. And we should do that. Soon she can't stand to watch it, though. So she goes out to get him food. So she starts to take over. She starts to force him to eat. Well, in the eagle life, when she brings the food back, if the male eagle accepts the food, then he is committed to totally giving up. It sounds like a play on words, committed to giving up. But that's what happens. When he accepts what she brings him, then he's done. And spiritually, we have to... We can be taught so much. We can be given so much. But the very, very bottom line is, we have to study for ourselves. We have to prove it for ourselves. God says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We can't let somebody bring salvation to us and give it to us. It doesn't work that way. So, in this particular case, the study of these eagles, he gazed at the meat that the lady eagle brought him, and we can only imagine that he started remembering what was before. He started remembering when he would fly high in the sky, when he had the power and the structure and the status that he had before. And he could remember that he was the one doing the hunting, that he was the one that was protecting and providing for his family. So he backed away from the meat that was laid there for him. He began to make the slow, painful climb back to the rock that was once his foundation. It's been a long time since this eagle had stood on that rock. Other things became more important to him. You know, he started looking at the inner self and became very, very sorry for himself, thinking that he couldn't do this anymore, he couldn't do that anymore, instead of trying to fight. But he started back. And as they watched this eagle struggle. It took him 36 hours to climb back to the foundation, the rock that his nest was on. But he did make it. This is where he once lived. He once soared the skies. He stood upon the rock, and then he started with his beak, his very sore beak, he started pulling out all the old, broken and dirty feathers and the useless feathers that was doing him absolutely no good. He started plucking them out one by one. He started removing them. He'd done this from his wings, from his chest, and from his thighs. And then he took his claws and he started banging his claws against the rocks. And as he'd done this, the infested dead skin buildups would start to break loose and start to come off. And then he went on to take his beak and bang it against the rock. Now you can imagine how sore and how painful this must have been. But he'd done this. And as he'd done this, the calcium deposits would start to chip away and start to break off. And after, I didn't say how much time, but after quite a few hours of this painful ritual, this eagle was coming back to him, his old self. So in a sense, what we see here is he removed this pride that was holding him back. And he remembered how his life was. And that's what we can do. When we start to fall away, if we start to get spiritually sick, we need to remember the foundation that we all started on. We need to remember all of the good times, the good spiritual times that we've had, and all the good spiritual times that can still be ahead of us. And we need to focus on those times and work our way back to those times. And when we do this, it's only then that we can and should totally submit to God. And we need to humbly go before God and seek His mercy and His grace. And when we do this, this will help us to lose any prideful ways that we may have still that has caused us to fall from our Christianity. Well, after about 40 days now, the eagle's feathers start to return to his chest and his wings, the healthy feathers. The claws begin to return to their powerful strength that they had once before, and his beak does totally heal. Now, when all this happens, he did not move from the rock. What he did was, eagles produced an oil underneath their wings. And he took this oil, and somehow, with his beak and his wings, he rubbed his whole body with this oil. And once he did this, he stood there for another few days, allowing this oil to soak in and penetrate. And it does whatever the health reasons or the healthy ways that the eagle was created, this energized him or this healed any wounds that may have been there. This is what he was waiting on. Now, standing on the edge of the rock, as he finished his process, his eyes looked directly into the sun rays again. This time, he made a new sound, a sound that they have never heard before. And then he mounts up, not to fly up to his nest, or not to fly back to his family. And he didn't fly back to his own hunting grounds. This time, there was no storms out there, none that we could see as onlookers. But he flew directly into the sun again. This time he'd done this a little different than last time. He wasn't being chased by a condor or no enemies that we could see. He flew directly into the sun faster than he had flown before and with a stronger stance. And this time he flew further, higher than before to the sun, closer to the sun. And the lesson that we can get from here is that once we realize if we become spiritually sick, we can cleanse ourselves with God's help. We follow what God has given us in His instruction book. We have to stay focused. The main thing is to stay focused on the rock. Stay focused on the Son. And stay focused on God the Father, knowing that He is our lifeline. And we know that we need to get closer to Him. And we can do this. Every day, as we take our daily bread, we get a little closer to God and a little closer, a little stronger. We become a healthier Christian. We become more powerful. That's what God wants us to do. There's a lot of lessons that we've covered today, a lot of lessons that we could continue on. But I just wanted to do a quick overview of an eagle's life and to see the creation that God has made and what we can learn from that. There's another scripture that I'd like to look at. And it's a very familiar scripture. I'm sure we all know this by heart. It's John 3:16. But by reading that scripture and thinking about it, we understand now why God went through all the pains that He did in giving us these examples through whether the animal life that's around us on a daily basis or the life of His Son in a physical form, Jesus Christ. The pain and the agony that He went through. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that's what we're here for. We mentioned this a few times. We go down this physical road that we're on, and we're going to stumble along the way. You know, we're going to, each and every one of us, going to have different life changes, different physical changes in our life. Whether it's we're married, we're single, we have families, we don't have families. We all have different backgrounds. But the one thing we all have in common is Jesus Christ, and God the Father, and the Holy Spirit that they give us to bring us through our individual roads that we go down. So by looking at the creation that God has given us, by examining it very closely, we can see that He took enough detail in all of the creation, all of the animals out there, to allow us to learn from them. How much more detail did He take in our lives to allow us to be a part of His family? And that's what He wants for us. So hopefully we can take these lessons that we looked at today and we can apply them in our lives. And any time that we feel that we're a little ill spiritually, we can pick ourselves up and keep focused, and we can reach for the sun.